From the Moon Broadcast Center at KPCC, this is The Frame. I'm John Horn, and thanks for joining us during our winter membership drive. Today, my guest for the entire show is actor Bradley Whitford. He's probably best known for starring in The West Wing and doing some bad things in a basement in Get Out. More recently, he was in Transparent and the dystopian drama The Handmaid's Tale. Now he's starring in a broad NBC sitcom called Perfect Harmony. And if it sounds like a big departure, that was intentional.
I was sort of looking to do a comedy. I've been doing a lot of dark stuff. I wanted to get out of Gilead for a time.
I talked with Brad Whitford before a live audience at KPCC's recent open house. In Perfect Harmony, Whitford plays a character who's very close to the show's creator, Leslie Wake Webster.
Leslie had this story about her grandfather at the end of his life. He was a very pretentious, kind of snooty, eastern coastal dude who ended up at the end of his life kind of stuck in Kentucky, where she is from. And he ended up finding real joy and nourishment working in this little church that he thought he didn't want to have anything to do with. And that was sort of the basis of it. And I was looking for something to do in these insane, polarized times that put radically different people together and sort of transcended it in a non-preachy way with humor. And this has this added element of music.
This is unacceptable. Piano girl, you're sliding up to each note, which ruins the listening experience. Whitney Houston, we have a problem. Your confidence exceeds your talent. Snake tattoo. George Frederick Handel didn't know anyone named Hal. It's not hallelujah. It's hallelujah. Open vowels. You've heard of vowels. They're the things that Pat Sajak makes you pay for.
Your character passes out.
I pass out, yeah. It was actually a tricky thing with the show because it opens. I have gone to Kentucky to be with my wife in her last days. She was sick. So it was a very tricky thing because we're like opening a sitcom on the day of my wife's funeral, and I am downing sleeping pills with bourbon. So it was tricky to find how exactly to do that.
How to navigate that.
Yes.
But you do, I suspect, can make an argument about how this show is not a polar opposite to Handmaid's Tale and Transparent, even though they're very different beasts in terms of what they are trying to say, that you're working in shows that you think have a meaning beyond the show itself. And how would you define it for this show?
Well, I always hesitate to say, I always remember in 1994, I did a Clint Eastwood movie, A Perfect World. And I'm sitting on the set, and I have the New York Times and the Arts and Leisure section, big headline. He had just won the Oscar for Unforgiven. And it's Clint Eastwood's vision of America. And I go over to him, and I said, did you see this? And he goes, my vision of America. He's like, about 10 years ago, I was working with a monkey. Now they think I'm Gandhi. He's like, you know, you take the best job you can. I don't have a civic vegetable agenda which guides my showbiz choices. But I've been very lucky to be on these shows that tend to have some sort of cultural impact.
I'm going to ask you about a show that you are probably best known for, and that is West Wing.
Thank you. Look what a civilizing effect we had on the political discussion.
This is a clip that is easily found, and I think it's called Josh Lyman Yells at the President. So let's listen to it.
You need to listen to me. You have to listen to me. I can't help you unless you listen to me. You can't send Christmas cards to everyone. You can't do it. Forget the SPR. Let's get the IMF loans like we said we were going to. Listen to what I have to say about Didion, and please listen to me.
I'm going to ask you about working with Aaron Sorkin, because you had a long relationship with him. I think it started with A Few Good Men. Is that right?
It did. Young actors will always say, like, how do you get on a show like The West Wing? And the answer for me is you take a part in a movie that you don't want to do, a really important film called Revenge of the Nerds 2, : Nerds in Paradise. Let me finish. And on that movie, Tim Busfield played Poindexter with the glasses and the violin. And Tim and I were kind of theater rats, and we would fly up to the one-act festival in Kentucky because we were shooting in Florida. I became friends with him. Tim replaced Tom Hulce in A Few Good Men. Tim said to Aaron, I think this guy can do your stuff. And that's how I got The West Wing. Was playing a jerk in an idiotic movie.
But what about his writing and what that means for an actor, outside of what it did for your career, about the challenges that Aaron Sorkin gives
that,
an actor?
That kind of writing, yeah.
Which is, I mean, that was a snippet of what he asks his actors to do.
Yes, it is intense, and some really great actors, it's just not what they can do. I've seen really great, you have this relentless verbal obligation. There is a rhythm. Aaron sits at the monitor going, like he hears a rhythm. And the great thing about his writing is, thank God, it's weirdly easy to memorize because there's a flow to it. And all the actors in that show, 98% of them, Allison Janney, who's incapable of a false moment. But Allison Janney, you know, was doing 8 shows a week for a decade before she did that. It was a lot of theater people. There's a verbal obligation. If you're doing a speech like that, and there's all this, you know, political chuffa, and you're really upset about something, and you say couldn't instead of could not, you got to go back and get it right. He's an amazing writer who breaks all the rules. I mean, it was absolutely astonishing. He wrote 22 episodes of a 1 hour for 4 years. That's the equivalent of 11 feature films a year. I got a chance after he left to write a couple, and I thought my spine was going to fall out of my back. I can't believe that he did it, and it'll never happen again. Nobody in that position will submit themselves to doing 22 a year.
When we come back, Brad Whitford explains why parental encouragement might not be the best thing for a kid who's interested in the arts. Welcome back to this Pledge Drive edition of The Frame. I'm John Horn, and my guest today is the Emmy-winning actor Brad Whitford. We spoke in front of a live audience at KPCC's recent open house. Whitford has had some very big successes in his career, acting in film and TV and in theater, but he says the rewards and accolades don't always match up with how much effort goes into the work.
I think you should get an Oscar for making a moment in a crappy movie work, because it really is the most difficult thing. And what do you get rewarded for? You get rewarded for, you know, the greatest writer in the world who gets you, and you're looking into Allison Janney's eyes. It's like a conspiracy to make you succeed. I felt frustrated early on. I was playing just like a jerk in these movies that were frustrating, but it really helped me. I think doing theater makes you audacious, and the great thing about doing film or television is you cannot lie. The moment you lie, you can see it on film. It's almost worse on television, because people know you. You're in bed with them. It's very weird. But the one thing I consciously do try to do is completely mix up. I try to challenge myself. I don't want one approach to acting to work. And it's a totally different thing doing Handmaid's Tale than a pratfall. And I think mixing it up if you're lucky enough to have those opportunities, is the way to become a better actor.
We're talking with Brad Whitford about many things, including his new series, Perfect Harmony. Brad and I are parents of boys who are good friends and were debate partners in high school. And I was wondering about parenting somebody who has a passion for something like debate or the arts, and about the conversations that you had when you were growing up about your passions and how you hope other parents talk to kids who are interested in becoming a musician or an actor, and how do you encourage them to follow their passion and make sure that they also understand what it is they're getting into.
Yeah, look, it's a very difficult thing. I talked to people. I went to Wesleyan and then I went to Juilliard, and I talked to students all the time who are coming out of there. And a girl from Juilliard was graduating and said, and it broke my heart, she said, "But if you're really good and you work really hard, you can have a career, right?" And the answer, what I realized is, if you love this and you pursue it relentlessly, you can be a part of storytelling. It may not. Aaron Sorkin wanted to be, more than anything, a musical theater actor. It didn't work out. Thank God. thank God Lin-Manuel Miranda didn't get into acting school, or he would be playing, you know, Dr. Ramirez on Chicago Med. You need to be open to being part of the storytelling process. It's interesting to me. I would never say, "Hey, good." I think acting is absolutely the most wonderful developmental therapeutic experience you can have. I had like an epiphany in like seventh grade where I was like, "Oh my God, this is everything." When I'm doing a sport, I have to turn off my head and my heart. When I'm sitting reading a book, I have to turn off my body. This, like, it was like, holy God. Like, I fell in love with this stuff. And, but the career of it is a nightmare. It's cruel. It's superficial. I feel like I'm about as lucky as you can get. I am constantly dealing with the fact that I don't know what my schedule's going to be. It's like dating a schizophrenic. And like, I'm sitting here now, like, doing interviews and promoting a show. A couple of years ago, right before Get Out, I was like, maybe this doesn't work. This just feels kind of silly. So that's harrowing. An interesting thing, I think, is that I grew up in Wisconsin. I didn't know anybody who had any connection, as you would if you grew up in L.A. or New York, like somebody's cousin is on a TV show. The thought of this as a profession never entered my mind. And looking back, I realized since seventh grade, oh, my God, this is I loved it. But I worry, because if my father had come as I would, I would tend to want to do, to that play in seventh grade, if I was parenting me, I think I would have said, "Oh my God, like, I've never seen you so happy. Do you want to take an acting class?" And I swear, if my parents had done that, I don't think I'd be an actor, even though they were supportive, but I wouldn't have owned it. And I was mentioning to you backstage that I did a movie that Bruce Springsteen wrote a song for, and we were talking about this thing about...
This is Philadelphia?
Yeah, about parenting. And he was like, "Oh, absolutely. If my mom had come down and said, hey, you got something, buddy. You know, you want to take guitar lessons?" He's, you know, he'd be a drunk in Trenton. So I don't know what the answer is to that. With my kids, when they fall in love with something, I have a daughter who's obsessed with dance. I never said to George about debate, which she loved, "You should go work on your debate." And I think that about acting. I always think about this. The best actors, good actors act as if they're in school. Great actors act as if it's recess. That's where the really fun stuff comes. And so it's a very difficult thing. I remember raising kids here and like all the sports. It's like, you know, I just wish there was like a theater league.
Of AYSO, there should be. Brad Whitford, thanks so much for coming on the
My
show.
My pleasure. Great
Thank
to
you
be
all
here.
For showing up.
Thank you.
Perfect Harmony, starring Brad Whitford, airs Thursday nights on NBC. And that is it for The Frame today. You can keep up with us on Twitter and Facebook. You will find us at The Frame. We also have a weekly newsletter that goes out every Thursday. You can sign up at theframe.org/newsletter. Thanks for listening both on the radio and on demand. And thank you for supporting KPCC. I'm John Horn. We'll see you tomorrow back here at the Moen Broadcast Center.